All right, in Perikutet, I'm going to read a chapter in, how do you like that? I'm going to read a chapter in Malachim. Vayik ishma ha-melech Hizkiyahu. Vayikrat v'gadav v'gitkaz v'asak v'yafo beit Hashem. When King Hizkiyahu hears the threat, Sanherib, king of Ashur, has sent his men. Rabshakeh is the one who stands outside the walls of Yerushalayim. And he blasphemes God and he says, none of the gods of any of the nations around have been able to withstand the onslaught of Sanherib, king of Assyria. So how will the God of Israel, be able to do so? So they, Vayik Yishma HaMelech Chizkiyo, when he heard the report that was given to him by his officers, who heard the blasphemous attack on the God of Israel, Vayikrat v'gadav, he tore his garments, Vayitkaz basak, he covered himself with sackcloth, Vayavo beit Hashem, and he came to the house of God. And he sent Eliakim, who was in charge of his house, and Shevna the Sofer, and the elders of the Kohanim, all covered in sackcloth. He sent them to Yishayo, Anovi, Ben Amoz, to Yishayo, the prophet, the son of... I think we learned a few of these psukim, didn't we? How far did we go? You know, okay, we'll go. And they said to him, so says Hizkiyo, Yom Tzor of the Tochecha. Did we learn the whole parak yet? No, we didn't. I read it. I didn't learn it. That was okay. Anyway, I got the message. Anyway, he tells them to go to Chizkiyahu, to Yishayahu. By Yom Rabbeinu, and they said to him, "Koamah Chizkiyahu." So says Chizkiyahu, "Yom Tzor v'Tochecha Una Otsa Hayom Azeh." This day is a day of trouble. It's a day of admonishment. This is a day of rejection. Kibo Bonim Admonish Beve Korachein LaLeida. We are in the terrible position of being ready to give birth, but there is no strength. That means the pain is going to continue. Maybe God, your God, will hear all of the words of Rabshakeh. That the king of Ashur, his master, has sent him to blaspheme a living God. And he proved his point. The king of Ashur's officers had proved their point. They indeed made it clear that all of the other nations had fallen before the onslaught of the king of Ashur. None of their deities or gods were able to stand up before the might of Assyria. The Nasata Tfilah, so therefore we ask Yishayahu, is that you should lift your voice in prayer Ba'ad HaShayit HaMimtzah for the leftover that remains. These words are important because these words are really giving you a picture of what is happening at that particular moment in Eretz Yisrael. And this is going to be significant for the thrust of the Shia today. Ba'ad HaShayit HaNimtzah means that they are talking about the remnant that remained. The remnant of what? We're talking about the remnant of the Jewish people. More than 80% of the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael have been sent into exile. Sanherib, king of Ashur, and those who preceded him, Tiglath-Pileser, the others, the 10 tribes are already off in exile. Most of Yehuda has fallen before the might of Sanherib. We're going to see in a little while that really all that's left, waiting to be plucked, picked, destroyed, is Yerushalayim. We are therefore talking about one of the most serious threats to Jewish survival. We're not talking about an imagined threat. We are talking about a threat that already 80 to 90% has already been carried out, in fact. The Jewish people are being crushed by the war machine of Sanherib. And now he stands before Yerushalayim, ready to crush Yerushalayim. Yes. Why did they send a message to the Navi? Asking the Navi to pray, why don't they send a message to the Navi asking him what's going to be? You know what? You're a child of this generation. That's not an insult. Sure, it's not an insult. We always want to know what's going to be. And we think we can open up a chumash maybe, or go to a Rebbe, or look at the codes, you understand, the new codes that are exciting the whole world. Okay? And therefore, it'll say over there exactly what's going to happen. You know why they don't ask what's going to happen? Because if the Navi would know what's going to happen, he would have told them. It would not have been Chizkiyo sending his people to Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu would simply have come and said, Chizkiyo, call it, Koh Amar Hashem, so says the God of Israel. If a prophet would have known, he would have said it. If Chizkiyo has heard nothing from Yeshayahu, then you know that there is no message. There is no message. Yes?
Aren't things still in limbo? I mean, things can change.
Of course.
I mean,
she was like, But her question was, why don't they ask Yeshayahu, tell us the future? We always want to know what's going to be.
Well, there's something that
says
what happens where
Shaul's dungeons
were.
But over here we're talking about Klai Yisrael is being crushed. Do you think if the Navi would know what's going to happen to Yerushalayim, he would have just stayed at home and waited to let Yeshayahu call me? He knows my telephone number. What's his problem? Why doesn't he get in touch with me? Chizkiyo, let Chizkiyo get in touch with me. What's the problem? If a Navi knows, a Navi tells. Watch. The servants of the king Chizkiyo came to Yeshayahu. And Yeshayahu said to them, Ko tomrun el Adonaychem. And it is now that he gets the message. So shall you tell to your master. Ko omar Hashem, so says God, al tiram ibnei atvorim, asher shamato, asher gitfu nari melech hasherotim. Don't be afraid of the words that you heard from the children, the boys, the young people of the king of Asher, that have blasphemed me. There's going to be a spirit that I will send against him. He's going to hear something. He's going to return to his land, and there I'm going to bring him down by the sword. Meanwhile, Rav Shakeh had been sent from Lachish. The king of Ashur was in Lachish, and he was preparing for the thrust against Yerushalayim. Meanwhile, he hears that there is an army coming out against him, so he has to. There's a diversion, and he's not going to come up against Yerushalayim now. So he's going to have to send a message to Chizkiyo. Listen, Chizkiyo, don't think that I have changed my mind or that I'm frightened of Yerushalayim. There's been a delay in our plans, but you wait. I'm going to come against Yerushalayim and destroy it. Vayosha Rav Shakeh v'yim tzat melech Asher milcham alivna. Rav Shakeh returned and he found that the king of Asher went out to war against Livna, Kishona, Kinosom, Yelachish. He comes to Lachish and he expects to see the camp of Asher, and then up there he finds out that they've journeyed from there. Vayishma, because he had heard about Tirhoko, the king of Cush, saying, behold, I'm going out, he is going out to wage war with you. Vayosha Vayishma Malachim and Chizkiyo Lema. So he sends a second message to Chizkiyo. This is the second message. I think we learned all of this last week. I don't know why I'm going all over it, but it's okay. For our guests. He sends a second message. And the second message was, so shall you say to Chizkiyo, Melech Yehuda Lemor. Right? All along, Sanchedev and his boys have been referring to Chizkiyahu as Chizkiyahu, without giving him even the... without having the decency of the title of Melech. Even an enemy. You don't just call him Chizkiyo or something like that. So they were really playing. They were playing with Chizkiyo. Now all of a sudden it's Chizkiyo, king of Yehuda, saying, Ariyashiach ha'elohecha asher atokta terbo lemor. Don't be convinced or don't be seduced by your God whom you trust in saying, Lo tinatein Yerushalayim biyad melech Asher. If you hear from God that God says that Yerushalayim is not going to be given into the hands of Asher, don't trust that. Hine atah shamata, you have already heard that Asher also malchei Asher lechol ha'aratzot la'akadimam. You know what the kings of Asher have done to all of the nations to destroy them. V'atoti natzel. You're going to be saved from the clutches of the king of Asher. Ha'yitzilu atam alahei ha'goyim asher shichatu arutai. Did the gods of the other nations whom my fathers destroyed, did the gods save them? Gozan and Choron and Detzeth and Bnei Eden asher betalezeh. where's the king of Hamas, the king of Arpad, the king of the city Sparboyim, Hena, Eva, all names of places, where are they? Vayikach Chizkiyot, Asfonim Yer HaMalachim, Vayikraim, Vayar Beit Hashem, Vayifrisayu Chizkiyot, Lefnei Hashem. Chizkiyot took the letters. Svarim is another word for letters, because their letters were written in those days, you know, and rolled up like a sefer. It looked like a book, huh? Like the Megillah. And the Egedet HaPurim Hazot, the Megillah is called an Egedet, which is a letter. And that's why when the Megillah is read publicly, the person who reads it is supposed to fold up the Megillah before the beginning of its reading as though it were a letter. Because letters are books. All right. Oh, that's something else. Ah, you're right.
Letter? Yeah.
What does it mean? Yeah. You're right. I was only thinking of the other word. Edigedet hapurim hazot hashem. Vayishlach svarim el kol medina medina. Medina medina kichsava. Va'am va'am kilishono. Excellent. Well, remember that. That's a very good point you made. Yes, svarim. The svarim are the letters. You absolutely right. Vayitpalel Chizkiyo lefnei Hashem. Chizkiyo prays before God, and he says, Hashem Elokei Yisrael, the God of Israel, Yoshev Akruvim, the one who dwells between the cherubs, Atohu Elokim Levadecho, you alone are God. Lechol Mamalchot Haaretz, you alone are God over all the kingdoms of the land. Atoh Asitat Hashemayim Et Haaretz. This is the great tefillah of Chizkiyo. You're the one who made heaven and earth. Hatei Hashem Azdecho Shema, incline your ear, God, and listens. Pekach Hashem Inecho, Urei, God, open your eyes and see. Ushmad Divrei Sancherev, listen to the words of Sancherev. Who had sent his people to blaspheme a living God. Omnam Hashem, Chizkiyo in his prayer says, indeed it is in fact true that Ashur has destroyed so many nations because their gods are not gods, but you're different. Omnam Hashem, yes, Hashem, Hechedivu, Malkei, Ashur, Etagonim, Etaretz, the kings of Ashur have destroyed the nations and their lands, and they have consumed, burned their gods in fire, because they're not gods. It's simply something that's made by the hands of man, made out of wood and stone, and they destroy them. Now God, save us from his hand, let all the kingdoms of the world know that you are God alone. So here we have the prayer of Chizkiyahu. Now we have Yishayahu's response to the prayer. Yishlach Yishayahu ben Amitz el Chizkiyahu lemosh. Yishayahu ben Amitz sent to Chizkiyahu saying, Ko Amar Hashem el Keisos, so says the God of Israel. Asher Hitpalalta Elai, that which you have prayed to me about Sancheret, the king of Ashur, Shamati, I have heard. Zehatovar Asher Dibar Hashem Elov, this is what God has said about Sancheret, king of Ashur. Bozalacha, lagalacha, betulat bat Zion. Zion makes fun of you, rejects you, makes sport of you. I don't know if that's... Well, is that the translation? How do they translate it? Did I get one of them right?
Despise
the mock. I was close. Laugh and scorn. Ah! Bat Zion. And I'm going to point out why. Ah! God is saying this to Sancheret. God is saying to Sancheret that Yerushalayim laughs at you. And there's going to be a very specific reason for that. Because there is a pasuk in Yeshayahu that I plan on getting to today. There's a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Let me open to the Yeshayahu, so I'll be ready there. It's in chapter 10 in Yeshayahu. Chapter 10 in Yeshayahu.
Just hang in.
In chapter 10 of Yeshayahu, I'm going to take you yet a few psukim earlier, but in chapter 10 of Yeshayahu, pasuk 32, it says the following. Od hayom benov la'amod. Od hayom. Today, we're going to stand at Nov. You know where Nov is? What? Givat Zarfatit? Okay. Ancient Nov is someplace around Givat Zarfatit. And this is Yeshayahu saying the words of the Sancheret King of Asher. Today we're going to make it known. And you know what? On that particular day, the day of his great march, he arrives at Nov. And he's standing on a hilltop. You know, someplace around the Hayat, you know. And he looks down on Yerushalayim. He has to be. He obviously has to be standing at a site where he can see the city. And he takes a look at the Yerushalayim. You know, faith, Yado, Har Bat Zion. He waves his hand over Bat Zion, Givat Yerushalayim, the hill of Jerusalem. You know what the pasuk is saying? He had been preparing for the great attack of Yerushalayim. And he had been left with the impression that this is some impregnable kind of fortress. And his men told him, his advisors, we have to march hard, and today we're going to destroy Yerushalayim. He finally comes to Yerushalayim, and he's standing at Nov, and he looks down, and with mockery, Yerushalayim, nothing. He even refers to it as Giv'at Yerushalayim. It's not even a mountain. You know what it is? It's a little hill Allah. And he tells his officers, tomorrow, we're resting tonight, and tomorrow we will crush Yerushalayim. There's no hurry, no rush. What's the rush? Yes?
Wasn't
Yerushalayim was a defended walled city, but we're talking about Sanhedrin, who has destroyed so many nations with other walled cities. You know, we always think that Yerushalayim is, you know, Yerushalayim, you know, there are biggest cities in the world. There are our mightiest cities in the world. He had already conquered so many nations. And then he takes a look in comparison. The fact is, I studied in Yeshiva in Yerushalayim in 1955 and 56. Do you know what Yerushalayim was then? A shtetl. I don't know. Most probably a city, a little city in Galicia had a was bigger than Yerushalayim. He's standing up over there and he takes a look down, and he's not impressed. He's not impressed. You know, faith, Yato. He's sort of. Yerushalayim, tomorrow. What he doesn't know, of course, is that that night, and it's going to be described in this chapter, the angel of death is going to swoop down upon the camp of Sanhedrin and destroy them utterly. And his soothsayers or his astrologers had told him, you have to conquer the city today. Believe me, I'm certain that if you would have tried to conquer Yerushalayim that day, God would have come up with an alternate plan. Because he has already told Yeshayahu and Chizkiyo, Lo tinatein ha'ir hazot, this city is not going to be given into the hands of Sancher. That's clear. The Gemara even goes on to say, why does he stop at Nov? Why is it from Nov that he looks down and he sees Yerushalayim? So they say that that was still the sin of Nov, still hung over the Jewish people. What was the sin of Nov? When Shaul massacred the city of Nov, and that sin of spilling Jewish blood hung heavy over Klal Yisrael. But it hung only until that day, at nightfall of that day, the period of which they would suffer for the sin of Nov was over. So now, the real point that I want to make over here is, how does Sanhedrin look at Bat Zion? A joke! That's why God is saying, Bozolacha, Lagolacha, Vistulat Bat Zion. Achavecha Rosh Hainia, she shook her head after you, Bat Yerushalayim. She's going to shake her head. Like, shaking of the head represents, wow, look what happened to Sanhedrin. That's what Yerushalayim is going to do about you. And me hate after the king after. Who did you curse and blaspheme? Thou me had a note to call. Against whom did you raise your voice? Bati samaromi necha. You lifted your eyes, Al Kadosh Yisrael, against the Holy One of Israel. What are you talking about? Biyad Malachecha, through your messengers, Chidav to Hashem, you blasphemed God, Batomer, and you said, with all of my chariots, I'm going to come up to the height of mountains, to the very end of the Lebanon. Lebanon is the Beit HaMikdash. Vechrod kol matar azav niv. This is the pasuk we got through. Finally, it's a half an hour ready. All right. Huh?
No, I don't think we got it.
Yeah, this is the pasuk. Vechrod kol matar azav, and I'm going to cut down his tall cedars, midchor beroshav, his birosh trees. This is where we stopped. Birch. Cyprus. I knew it was. I knew I didn't know which one it was. I think that was probably at the point at which I wanted to call the class off. So you know, we finished already because I got stuck. I don't get stuck. Vavom along Kitzar, I'm going to come to the end of his dwelling place, Ya'ar Carmelo, the forest of all of his luscious produce. In other words, that's a description of the Beis Hamikdash. All blessing comes to the Beit Hamikdash, and he. Ani karti visha titi mayim visha titi mayim zadim v'achriv v'kaf pa'amai kol yorei matzor. This is the way Sanhedrin is acting and speaking with great pride, conceit. Ani karti. Character means that I've come against cities with water for shatiti mayim zadim. I drank strange waters. V'achriv b'kaf pa'amai, with my hand I destroyed kol ya'orei matzor, all of the rivers of cities that are besieged. Huh?
Soles of my feet.
could be used for both. Okay, thank you. All right.
Rabbi,
chapter 10. It was chapter 32, and I'm going to get back to that right away. You're right. B'chav pa'amai, with my legs. Halo shamata l'meirochok ota siti l'mimei kedem v'yitzartio ata ha'veksio til hashod galim nitzim orim b'tzurot. He says this from the very beginning of time. You've heard from about that which goes all the way back into time. I had decreed that it should be so. This is God speaking. From the early days I had created. Now I have brought it about. Yeshayahu is going to say it, and we're going to see it here. Sanhedrin is the agent of God. God has decided that he wants certain people destroyed, nations moved. Great events in history are either by God's permission or God commissions. He may permit things to happen because he stands back in concealment, or he makes things happen. Here God says, these are things that I wanted to make happen. And what was it that he made happen? That Sanhedrin is not a power in and of himself, but Sanhedrin is the agent of God. But that's not the way Sanhedrin sees it. Sanhedrin sees himself as mighty, powerful, fearsome. He sees himself as being the one who is doing this all. Let me just skip for a few moments because I want to get to a third point. Let's go to Pasuk 32 in this paragraph. 31. Ki me'Yerushalayim teitzei sheyit. You think you're going to destroy Yerushalayim, so you should know that from Yerushalayim there will go out a remnant. U'pleitam mi'Hartzion, there will be refugees from Hartzion. In other words, they will remain, you will not destroy them. Kinat Hashem Tzvakot Hazezot, it is God's jealousy for his people that will do this. Lachin, therefore, Ko Oman Hashem Melech Ashur. So says God to the king of Ashur, Lo Yavo El Ha'ir Hazot, he will not come to this city. V'lo yoresh on chetzer, he's not going to shoot an arrow there. V'lo yikadmenom again, he's not going to come up against the city with a shield in his hand. V'lo yishtoch alav solalon, he's not going to pour out against the city either battering rams or one of the things that they used to do is they would pour out earth to use it as a ramp, you know, as they did at Masada, the Romans did it. But derech hashiyova bo yashuv, the way in which he came, he's going to return. Ve'el ha'ir hazot lo yavo, he will not come into this city, no ma'ashem, says God. And here's the beautiful pasuk. Ve'ganoti el ha'ir hazot lo shia, I'm going to protect this city to save her. Lema'ani, for my sake, uleman David avdi, and for the sake of my servant David. Vayihi balayla ha'hu, and it came to pass on that night, vayetzei malach Hashem, the angel of God went out, vayachan in the machane Ashur, and he smote the camp of Ashur, me'osh shmonim v'chamisha elef, 185,000 men, vayashkimu baboker, those who remained, got up in the morning, vihine, and behold, kulam pigorim mason, they're all dead. Vayisa, vayelech, vayoshev sancherev melech Ashur. Very interesting, vayisa, vayelech, vayoshev. You know what troubles me about this? All that the pasuk wants to say is that Sancherib went back home. His army was lost. Why does it say Vayisa Vayelech Vayoshav? What do you want to say? I'm going in that direction. No, what I mean by going, do you know what impression it leaves? Somebody who has received a blow of this sort is in a state of, in an emotional state of confusion. Do you know that confusion is described? He journeys, he goes, he returns. The three verbs coming one quickly upon the other leave movement, and you know what we're talking about? We're not talking about physical movement. We're talking about emotional movement. Yes.
In English, they say he doesn't know if he's coming or going.
Doesn't know if he's coming or going. Agreed. By Yisrael, yes, he seems to go in one direction. By Yelech, he comes back in another direction. By Joshua, he returns. All of this movement represents the idea that a person is in a state of confusion. By Yeshua in Nineveh, and he settled in Nineveh. That was his capital. By he whom Ishtakabe Beit Nisroch Alav, he's bowing down in the house of his god Nisroch. Adramelech the son Ezer Bonav Hikuhu Bacherev, his two sons, Adramelech and Sar Ezer, smote him with a sword. The Hainon Nilu to Eretz Ararat, they fled to the land of Ararat, someplace in Turkey. Vayimlach Esor Chadon Beno Tachtov, his son Esor Chadon ruled in his place. All right, that's all that we have to do right now. Now what I want to point out is the following. You better hang on to your seats. I'm going to begin. I'm going to begin with the Halacha of Shulchan Aruch. The Halacha of Shulchan Aruch says the following. The order of the Yom Tovim. There's a very fascinating Sifri Shulchan Aruch. Says the following. Simon Lekviat HaMoladim. If you want to know when all of the Yom Tovim are going to fall, the simon is At Bash Gar Dak Hatzvav. Good. Do I have you sufficiently confused? Alright, now that you're sufficiently confused, not confused. Aleph is the first letter of the alphabet. What's the last letter of the alphabet? Tav. At. Second letter of the alphabet is Bet. The next to last letter of the alphabet is Shin. So first we have to know At Bash, that's what it's called, was a kind of code that was used. I'm talking about a real code that was used even in Tanakh. For example, in the Nevi'im, in a number of places, Bavel is referred to as Sheshach. Sheshach. Because what's based in this Shin is based. So Bavel, in place of the base, you put a shin and a shin, and lamed equals kof. Those are the two letters in the middle of the alphabet that go next to each other. So Babel is referred to as Sheshach. There's another thing that we learn from this, and that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. And the Shulchan Aruch explains the siman of the Yom Tovim, at. And each one refers, watch, at the first day of Pesach is always Tisha B'Av. Aleph, Tav. First day of Pesach is Tav, Tisha B'Av. They come out on the same day. First day of Pesach was Tuesday. First day for Tisha B'Av will be on Tuesday. And it of course refers to the Pasuk in Torah, Al Matzot Umerorim Yochluhu. Matzah is Pesach, and what is the most moror day of them all, the bitterest day of them all? That's Tisha B'Av. The second part of the siman is Biyom Beit, whatever is the second day of Pesach, Shin, Shavuos will always come out that in that year. Whatever is the second day of Pesach is Wednesday, Shavuos will be on Wednesday. Upiyom Gimel, though, whatever the third day of Pesach is, Gar, Gimel, Reish, Rosh Hashanah will always come out on the third, whatever is the third day of Pesach. Biyom Dalid, what corresponds to Dalid? Corresponding to Dalid is Kuf. Kuf is Kriyat HaTorah, the reading of the Torah. Simchas Torah will always come out on the, what is the fourth day of Pesach. Shul Simchas Torah.
Is that Simchas Torah the year before or the following
year? Oh, the following year. Now, I don't have my calendar in front of me, and I'm very bad at these things, but we'll check it out. Biyom Heibo, Hey, what does Hey correspond to? Tzadik, Yom Kippur, Tzom, Fast Day, fifth day of Pesach. Vav, Fei, the sixth day is always Purim. Whatever day of the year, that's the Purim, and here the Shulchan Aruch says, the Purim before comes out on the sixth day of Pesach. If we are to take the Simin one step further, where does that take it to? Zion corresponds to Ayin. So that's, of course, in our generation, that the seventh day of Pesach, always, Yom HaAtzmaut always comes out on the seventh day of Pesach. But that Simin, of course, doesn't appear in the Shulchan Aruch, otherwise they'd be burning Shulchan Aruch in the streets, but that Simin doesn't appear. Huh? No, not a chance in the world. No, I was writer. Zion, Ayin. Nobody ever called me left. All right. What's significant of this is the following. I'm taking you one step further. What's significant over here is that the Haftorah that is read in Chutz Laretz on the last day of Pesach, we don't have the last day of Pesach that they have. Is the Haftorah that Chachmei Yisrael, the rabbis, established for Yom HaAtzmaut. All right. I have my Zionistic Rinas Yisrael sitter, and when it comes to Yom HaAtzmaut, so they have the Haftorah, and of all things, you know what the Haftorah is? Od Hayom Benov Lamod. Chapter 10 of Yeshayahu, describing Sancherib standing at Givat Zorfatid, looking down upon Yerushalayim, and just, in Yiddish it comes out very good, when he sees Yerushalayim, Machtavek mit der Hand. He makes a wave with the hand, a wave of the hand, I'll destroy the city tomorrow. Of course, that tomorrow never comes. Now I'm going to take you the giant step further. The Gemara says, Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God wanted to make Chizkiyahu Mashiach and Sancherev Gog Umagog. God wanted to make Chizkiyahu the Mashiach, and the struggle of Sancherev against the Jewish people would be considered Gog, the apocalyptic battle of Gog and Magog, and it would all be over. But no, Chizkiyahu does not become Mashiach. What's fascinating, of course, is this is the first time that Chazal ever tell us about somebody that he could have been Mashiach. We're not said that about, it's not said about Yehoshua or anybody else. the first moment in history at which it seems there could have been a Mashiach, but it slipped out of our hands for some reason. So the Gemara, of course, says about Chizkiyo, because Chizkiyo didn't say Shida, he didn't sing to God, which we discussed last week. What is it that is so unique about Chizkiyo that God wanted to make Chizkiyo Mashiach and Gog and Magog would be represented by Sanchedrin, king of Ash? More than that, that chapter, Od Hayom Benov La'amod, which is the Haftorah for the last day Pesach, or the Haftorah for Yom HaZmolot, continues. I'll just read another few psukim. Hine ha'adon Hashem Tzvakot, the master, the God of hosts, Nisa'ef Pura b'maratza, he's going to cut down their branches with a saw. V'ramei ha'kom ha'geduim, those who rise high are going to be chopped down. V'ha'gevoim, and the tall ones, Yishpolu, will be cast down to the ground. What he's talking about, in this particular sense, he's talking about the conceit of Sancheret. I am the one who has destroyed these great countries. I am going to destroy Yerushalayim. God is going to show him that he is no more than a tool in the hands of God. And therefore God says, I'm going to cut him down. V'nikav sifrei hayah v'barzel v'halavanon v'adir yipo, and the underbrush will be cut with metal, and the great trees of Lebanon are going to fall. And there he's talking, Yeshayahu is talking about the might of Ashur is going to come crushing down. The next pasuk begins the great chapter 11 of Yeshayahu. What is chapter 11 of Yeshayahu? Chapter 11 of Yeshayahu is Mashiach. The description of Mashiach is chapter 11. There is a shoot that is going to come out of the root of Yishai, the Netzer Yisharashov Yifre, and something will grow out from him. The Nochal of Ruach Hashem, and the Spirit of God is going to come down upon him, a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and might, a spirit of knowledge and the fear of God. An awesome, outstanding, exceptional description of what this great man Mashiach is going to be all about. Well, the Gaim have used everything that we... where did they get the day of rest from? Everything that we say about Mashiach, so they say that their God is Messiah. Right? But this is where it comes from. And then we have rejected them entirely. Root and branch? Oh, I don't know. He called me yesterday, root and branch. He faxed me twice. Okay. So let me tell you the following. At once, 4 or 5 or more years ago, I'd said this in a different connection. But let me explain. There is a pattern that is now being established in Jewish history for all time. Once heard this thought, in part, it begins with the Malbim right here on this chapter, with Sancheriv and Chizkiyo. I'll come back in a moment to Chizkiyo and Sancheriv. There is a pasuk in Torah that says the following. It's a pasuk in Parashat Ekev in Devarim. V'yodata im levavecha. You shall know with your heart. Know it well. Ki kasher yaseh ish et beno, the way in which a man admonishes his son, Hashem Elokecha miyasvecha, God your God admonishes you. The way in which a father will instruct his son, so God instructs the Jewish people. Which means there are going to be periods of suffering. Doesn't the parent sometimes feel that he must discipline a child? It may hurt the child. And we know that when parents say, it hurts me more than it hurts you, that's true. But Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jewish people, you should know it in your heart, that when God admonishes the Jewish people, it is like a father who admonishes his son. I happened to be 7 or 8 years ago, a Shabbos in Toronto, and I heard that a Rebbe of mine had come to Toronto was going to speak at a shul about a block or two away, Rabbi Avram Palm Shlita, the Ashir of Torah Vedas. So I had learned by him. I was a good boy in those days. I remember I was a good boy in his class. He even liked me. Still likes me. It's about 45 years later. I like him. He went on. He's one of the great people of the truth is in all of Yiddishkeit today. So he said the following. He spoke about this pasuk, and he said that there's a corollary to this pasuk. A father admonishes a son. And that's the way in which God deals with his people. What happens after a father admonishes a son? You know what the next step always is? The father is going to attempt to rebuild the relationship with his son. He's going to pour out good... Now it's gone.
So there's a corollary. In other words, yes, God will admonish just as a father admonishes. And just as a father, after he admonishes, what does he do? He embraces. He pours out his love. He expresses his real feelings. He, in a sense, wants to rebuild the relationship of love and trust and affection and closeness and warmth. And he does it by kindness. Cedric found the following. The rule in Jewish history is precisely the same. After every period of terrible, terrible suffering, there inevitably comes a period afterwards in which God pours out his goodness, his warmth, his kindness, his chesed to his people to the extent that he is ready to bring Mashiach. And the first period of that sort in Jewish history was Chizkiyahu ben Sennacherib. Because at the time of Chizkiyahu, as we had pointed out, Klal Yisrael had suffered more than it had suffered in all of its history. 80% of Jews had been exiled. The entire country had fallen before a nation that destroyed Eretz Yisrael, and now they were waiting to pluck finally the Yerushalayim that was waiting. We're talking about the worst suffering that Klal Yisrael had ever undergone from the moment that it became a people. That's what's happening in this chapter. When Chizkiyahu is standing before God in the Beit HaMikdash and praying to him, and Yeshayahu sends God's message, the Ganoti al Ha'ir Hazot, I'm going to protect this city, we are talking about the lowest moment in Jewish history. Anybody who is in Yerushalayim most probably would be writing articles about the disappearing Jew. Jews are disappearing from the face of the earth. One more blow like this and it's all over. And therefore, says Rapang, the rule in Jewish history is immediately following a period of such suffering comes God opening the windows of heaven and pouring out kindness and goodness. He wants to embrace his people and bring them back all over again. That's why Chizkiyahu could have been Mashiach, and Gog and Magog, Sancheret would be Gog and Magog, and the Messianic era would begin, because following the suffering, the ultimate consolation of the Jewish people comes through the Messianic era. That was the first moment in Jewish history that it was possible. And therefore you understand now the juxtaposition of chapters 10 and 11 in Yeshayahu. And that's what the Maimon says. Chapter 10, and if we have time, we'll get back to read chapter 10. Chapter 10 is an unbelievably powerful description of the journeys of Sancheret, how he goes from city to city, coming closer and closer to Yerushalayim. Everything falls before him, and all that's left to be plucked is that Yerushalayim, and Klal Yisrael is finished. And then all of a sudden God says, I'm going to cut him down and I'm going to destroy him. And then comes the great chapter of Mashiach. Because following a period of extreme suffering comes the possibility of Mashiach. Rav Palm then went on to describe three other periods of Jewish history. Period 2 in Jewish history, Rabbi Akiva says that Bar Kokhba is Mashiach. Why does Rabbi Akiva think that Bar Kokhba is Mashiach?
Because the suffering of Klal Yisrael over a period of 65 years from the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash until finally Klal Yisrael being crushed at Beit Har, we're talking about the worst suffering of the Jewish people, the destruction of the second Beit HaMikdash, the dispersion of Jews throughout the world, the absolute cruelty of wrong was awesome and frightening. That Rabbi Akiva felt, do you know what's going on now? We are in a period of the father admonishing his son. What must invariably and inevitably follow it? It must be followed by a period of grace, a period in which God pours out his kindness and his love for his people. This is a period in which it's possible for there to be a Mashiach. Therefore he sees Bar Kokhba as having the potential of being Mashiach. And according to the Rambam, it's clear Rabbi Akiva didn't make a mistake. Bar Kokhba had the potential to be Mashiach. The historic period was such that it would have required that God do so. Something went wrong. Third period in history. 16th century. Oh, there are strange things that happen in the 16th century. Tzfat becomes the center of not only great Jewish minds, a collection of such minds in one little town. There was nothing like, we're talking about Beit Yosef, the Mechaber, the author of the Shulchan Aruch, the Arizal, the great master of Kabbalah, Reb Shlomo Alkavitz, who writes the Lechot Dodi. We're talking about an awesome collection of people over there. And there are strange things. You ever read, not enough to sing Lechot Dodi? Do you know what Lechot Dodi is a song of? It's the song of Yerushalayim. He's singing to Yerushalayim, and he's singing about Mashiach. Hitnari! Get the dust off. May Ofer Kumi arise out of the dust. Live she big day to Fartechami, put on the clothing of the raiments of glory of my people. You know who's going to do it for you? Ayat Ben Yishai Bet Halachmi. It's going to come through Ben Yishai. Bet Halachmi, the fellow who comes from Bethlehem. The son of Yishai, that's Mashiach. Korvo El Nafshi Go'olo. Bring my soul close to your redemption. That's not the only thing. Hitori, awake, kibore, because your light has come. Kumi, ori. Uri, uri, shit, abedi, sing. Kvod Hashem alayich midlodi. The glory of God is revealed upon you. You think the glory of God was revealed upon Yerushalayim in the 16th century? But he feels it. He senses that it's close. It's going to happen. V'haylum shisa shal soyach. Those who will be spoiled and robbed from you, will be robbed for Rachaku Kamalayach. All those who want to destroy you are going to be distanced. Yosis Alayach, your God is going to be happy with you. Kinsos Chatam al Akala. Like Chosen and Akala. Yominu Smolti Throtsi, you're going to spread out to the right and to the left. Fatasha Al Yad Ishben Parzi. Do you know who's going to bring this all about? Yerushalayim spreading out in all directions. It's going to come through Ben Parzi. Who is Ben Parzi? Mashiach comes from Peretz. There are two, there are twins, right? The twins are Peretz and Zorach. Oved, who was born to Ruth and Boaz. Peretz, and they give you the whole family of Peretz until it comes to Oved, from Oved to Yishai, from Yishai to David. Ish ben Parzi. The whole Lecha Dodi is a song of Yerushalayim and Mashiach. Because in Tzfat, they felt the footsteps of Mashiach. They heard it. There's something historically that happened in that generation, in Tzfat and Yerushalayim, unparalleled in Jewish history. Chachmei Yisrael decided that they want to renew the smicha, the ordination of Moshe Rabbeinu, so that they should be able to establish a Sanhedrin. You know what happened to some people who wrote about the establishment of the Sanhedrin after the establishment of the state? Okay, you're kidding me. Well, Sanhedrin. Gedolei Yisrael wanted to establish a Sanhedrin because the Rambam says that if the great of Eretz Yisrael decide to give a person smicha, that ordination is like the ordination of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that made him serve on the Sanhedrin. There was a great struggle that broke out between Gedolei Tzvat and Gedolei Yerushalayim, and ultimately a few people were given smicha, and then it was stopped. What was going on in Tzvat in the 16th century? Why did they feel this sense of Moshiach is around the corner? Why are they ready to establish a Sanhedrin so they can rebuild the Beit HaMikdash, start bringing Kabbalahs? What was it that was so special about the 16th century? You know what was special about the 16th century? Because it followed 1492. The destruction of the Spanish Jewish community, which was the crown, the jewel in the crown of the Jewish people. Hundreds of thousands of Jews died by drowning on the high seas. A remnant of Jews made it to Holland, to Italy, to Turkey. We're talking about the great center that had produced most probably the most outstanding minds of centuries, all came crumbling down on Tisha B'Av of 1492. They saw, Chachmei Yisrael saw this as a period of such awesome and frightening suffering. So what's the corollary according to Moshe Rabbeinu? Kasher yaseh ishet b'no, as a man admonishes his son, so God admonishes you, which means what follows Yisurim? After Yisurim, what must follow is the period in which God embraces his people again and pours out his kindness. They sensed it in the air. They sensed the possibility that, now we are ready. God owes it to us. Magiyalanu. It's got to be. Because every period of near total destruction must of necessity be followed by a period of great openness on the part of God. The fourth period of Jewish history is the second half of this century. And most probably, of all of the periods of Jewish history, the one where the rule applies and seems to apply more clearly than any other of those periods in Jewish history was ours. What was accomplished, in other words, what happened in this century was greater than what happened following the destruction of Sanherib at the gates of Yerushalayim, greater than the period of Rabbi Akiva, greater than the period of the Karach Mitzvah, because the suffering was greater too. Following the Holocaust comes the establishment of the State of Israel. When I talk about the establishment of the State of Israel, what it means to me is that Eretz Yisrael is given to the Jewish people, it becomes theirs. Unparalleled in history. No people in history have ever come, I mean, from the ashes of destruction to what happened over there. I mean, it's indescribable. You know, maybe we live in Yerushalayim and we've begun to take the last 50 years for granted, but God forbid we never can never take it for granted. What has happened here, following the Holocaust and that, following it from Horban to Kumat, is unparalleled in all of Jewish history. For that matter, it's unparalleled in the history of any other people. There is no other people on the face of this earth who ever suffered as we suffered. And 3 years later, of people about that were the ashes of the world are reestablished in their ancient land. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's mummish unbelievable. I'll tell you, if I wouldn't know a thing about God, I would believe in God simply because of the of what history has wrought here. It can't be anything else. By the way, this is Rav Palm, because Shiva of Torah V'Das, who is describing, I mean, of course, not this. No, but he says quite clearly, the fourth period in Jewish history is our period. And therefore, but what's terribly important is, in the three previous ones, for whatever reason it was, we let it slip out of our hands. It could have been the period of Mashiach. Chizkiyahu could have been Mashiach. Bar Kochba could have been Mashiach. In the 16th century Eretz Yisrael, they could have been Mashiach. We don't know really the reasons why the great potential did not come to fruition fully. So of course we have to make certain in some way or other that we don't goof it now. In other words, there are great things that are God has in store. He has in fact been pouring out his goodness and kindness towards 50 years in a way unparalleled in all of previous Jewish history. In other words, the pattern that is set for the first time according to the Malbim, set for the first time by Sancheret and Chizkiyahu. Sancheret represents the Nid. If I wouldn't be afraid, I would call the period of Chizkiyahu Holocaust. And by the way, anybody who understands the period knows it would not be a trivialization of the word Holocaust. You know, I and many were opposed, you know, everything is a Holocaust. Everything is a Holocaust. Since the Holocaust, there have been Holocausts faced all over Asia, all over. Everybody's getting Holocausted already. But if we are to look at it from the point of view of Jewish history, the first Holocaust was wrought by Sancheret and the kings of Ashur. 80% of Jews exiled. 90% of the country destroyed. All that was left, all that remained, was Yerushalayim and the suburbs. That's it. There was nothing else. And he was ready to destroy that. We're talking about an awesome and frightening Holocaust. Following the Holocaust, there must be a period of God's outpouring of his love to his people. And that love is that intense that that period becomes one in which it's possible for there to be Mashiach. So that was the first. And that's why, as I say, chapters 10 and 11 of Yeshayahu are so awesome. A description in detail of Sancheret, king of Asher, followed by description in detail of Melech HaMashiach, king Mashiach. Because chapter 10 talks about the suffering, and chapter 11 talks about God's reward. Chapter 10 is Holocaust, chapter 11 of Yeshayahu is rebirth. And it happened in four periods in Jewish history. And of course, it means therefore that whatever God says to through Yeshayahu to Chizkiyahu applies to us therefore as well. V'ganoti al ha'irazov, I am going to protect this city. God's promise to protect Yerushalayim remains in force when we are following a period of suffering. Because that's the rule, that's the law in Jewish history. It may be a different kind of study to figure out what in fact went wrong. Well, what went wrong? Why wasn't Chizkiyahu Mashiach? We tried to deal with that last week. What it was, what does the Gemara mean when the Gemara says that Chizkiyahu didn't sing before God? Or Rabbi Akiva, who thought Bar Kochba, Sevil and Medrash tries to tell us that at some point Bar Kochba became just a little bit too haughty. There was a moment at which Bar Kochba felt as though he is going to shape Jewish destiny. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. There has to be the awareness that the one who runs Jewish history, the author of Jewish history, is God. There's a great deal that we have to do to be part of that history. I don't want to repeat the shiur that I gave yesterday, the Parashat HaShavuah shiur, where we pointed out that we can mess up the situation in a number of ways. We mentioned the Rambam and the Ramban who talk about the destruction of the Second Temple. Why did it happen? So the Rambam, you understand, the Rambam says, because we should have put in all of our efforts to establish a standing army, and we should have learned how to be conquerors, and we didn't do it. We were involved in all sorts of banishkeit, and therefore we didn't really prepare ourselves in order to withstand the force of Rome. Or the Ramban, whom we quoted yesterday, where the Ramban says that we entered into treaties and agreements with Rome. We invited Rome into Eretz Yisrael. We invited the one who was ultimately going to destroy us into our heartland. We invited them into our heartland. It's this is not right-wing extremist gold saying this. This was abundantly proved in history, says reading Josephus. Reading Josephus. And they came originally as friends, Motzach Tzikish, and you know, it was a, everybody was shaking hands and everybody was meeting with everybody else, and ultimately the ones who brought us down were the friends whom we brought into Eretz, we invited them in. I don't know whether we gave them bows and arrows. Okay. But the rule in Jewish history, and that's the story, ultimately the story of Chizkiyahu and Sancheriv. The story of Jewish history is that following great suffering, God embraces his people, rebuilds the bridges of love and concern, a father who's bringing his child back to him, and that bringing the child back ushers in a period that could mean, that could mean great blessing to the Jewish people. All that we have to do is be worthy of it. And the first step in being worthy of it is to recognize it, to see the period of history for what it is. Chachmei Yisrael, they saw it. Yeshayahu saw the great potential of the period of Chizkiyahu and Sancheriv. Rabbi Akiva saw the great potential of the period of Bar Kokhba. Chachmei, the author of the Lachadodi and the Arizal and the Alshech and all of the great people of Tzvat, they saw, they felt in their bones and every fiber of their being, they felt the great possibilities of that era. We have to be able to see the great possibilities of ours, and we shouldn't mess it up. And sometimes I get very very depressed that we might yet be messing it up, but I still have this feeling down here that this time it's for keeps. We may make mistakes, we make big ones. When we have victories, the great victories. But when we have bloopers, oh God, the mistakes that we made, no people on earth have ever made the mistakes that we've made. We make terrible, terrible mistakes. But then again, we have to believe that there is a period that God is somehow around. I don't know what he's going to do. He must have a problem too, but I'm sure that he'll find a way out of it. That's Christia and some care. Okay, to be continued next week. Please. There's no question about it. There's no. By the way, this already the Chachmei HaKabbalah say, that in every generation there is somebody who's Nishmas Mashiach, who has the Neshama of Mashiach. In other words, there's a potential always waiting in the wings.